time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 28th. Holidays today, of course, as always, Race Your Mouse Day. It's Stuffed Green Bell Pepper Day and World Daffodil Day. If you know a lady who likes daffodils, a good day to buy her some. It's World Daffodil Day. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's, Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Definitely check them out. Salvatore's at the garage door is proud to show UFC 266 in September. That's right, September 25th. Prelims start at 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. Always, as always, no cover. Let's see. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Welcome to the show today. It looks like it's, we have, I am your humble host, the Cash Man. I'm joined by the Artiste. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Artiste?
Good morning. I am good. How are you?
Until the first piece of audio that comes across this computer, I am nervous every week. So there we go. Thank you for being here, sir. And we're joined by Furby as well. Good morning, Furby.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here. I survived that hurricane in Boston and made my way back to Rochester, New York.
Well, that's good. That's right. Last weekend, you were in a hotel room. I didn't want to ask you about it. But if you guys are friends of ours, like on Facebook, you can see we're going Facebook Live right now. You can see the smiling faces and the backward caps of both Furby and the Artiste. And hopefully we'll see Danger Boy as well as DC Dan Cole. I know that they might be having issues getting in. I don't know, but I can't answer the phone at the same time as I'm talking. And I see it ringing. But we will get into the whatnots and what's of this world of professional wrestling. We've got to start off with last weekend, and I think last weekend started last Friday, and we talked quite a bit about it, CM Punk's debut on Rampage last Friday, and I think this may have led to SummerSlam, which was Saturday with the WWE. Saturday pay-per-view, really kind of a unique day to do it. I mean, last time we had a pay-per-view on Saturday, it was WrestleMania, and it was 2 days, but we got SummerSlam on Saturday. And I know we had a lot of surprises. We're going to talk about them. But overall, what did you guys think of SummerSlam? What did you think? I mean, first of all, it started with all the masked people. It's funny. Is there the pre-show? Everyone had a mask on. And it was just and then once the crowd shots, you could see a few people without them. But what did you think of the show overall? Artiste?
I feel like recently I've been fairly complimentary of WWE pay-per-views for somebody that doesn't really like the product overall. I didn't love SummerSlam, to be honest. There's not much that really sticks out to me from watching it. I think there were a lot of matches I just wasn't looking forward to. It's cool. Becky Lynch is back, but she buried Bianca in a night, and I don't know. I didn't care about Lashley and Goldberg. We talked about that. The main event with Reigns and Cena was fine. I felt like it was too predictable. especially with Cena coming out with a t-shirt on that showed the 16 championships that he's had.
Yeah, it would be immediately
a brand new t-shirt.
Yeah, like would have immediately been thrown away because if he had won the 17th.
Yeah. I do like some of the things they're doing these days, but from a pay-per-view perspective, like I don't care about Dominic Mysterio. I don't really care about Damian Priest and a lot of these things that are going on. So I didn't love it.
Okay, Ferbs, thoughts?
Lesnar looks like a beast, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's got that little ponytail on the top of his head now.
I pretty much got the same feelings as Ortiz. However, I do feel like there was a few bright spots. I, on the other hand, I did like the Priest, Damian Priest win. I thought the main event was pretty good. It was overall a good match. I said it last week. I thought it was going to be predictable, and I was right. Reigns won. But the match overall itself was great. And Edge and Rollins was pretty good as well.
222-1280, star 1280 is the number if you want to get in on this. Well, you had to do have some stuff. So we're going to talk right at first. And yes, I want to talk a little SummerSlam, but let's talk about the returns. We got, you mentioned Rob, you mentioned a minute ago, Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch came in. And yeah, didn't we have a sneaky suspicion when we saw that Sasha Banks wasn't at SmackDown on Friday that maybe they were going to do something and remove her from the match and put the man back or somebody else back in? It looked like it was going to be Carmella at first, but then the man came out and pretty much, that was a weak defense by the champion. It wasn't even a defense. It was just a weak match. You know, it was
26 seconds or something.
Yeah, yeah. One move and we have a new champion. And Becky, listen, Becky's great and everything. Becky was not in prime Becky shape, I'll say, and the people were behind her. And if you watched SmackDown last night, obviously she healed out. That was a heel move, anyways, beating a face. But I just felt terrible for Bianca. And listen, they probably sold of Bianca. It's like, well, you're going to have a series of matches with her for the next 6 months or whatever now. But I'm not a man fan. I never was Becky Lynch fan. And it's like, and not only am I complaining about it, but USA Network is not very happy because she left when she was Raw Women's Champion and she comes back on SmackDown. And same for Lesnar, to be honest with you. It's like Lesnar was on SmackDown. But they're upset that their two prime returning people both show up on SmackDown, and USA Network is not very happy about that. But thoughts on the Becky Lynch return? It really was pretty simple. It was that, it was quick and over, and now the man's a champ. And also kind of dissed Bianca last night when Bianca's like, I want my rematch. And she goes, not right now, And she just kind of
walked away. To be honest, out of this whole storyline, the thing I'm most interested in is where the heck's Sasha Banks? I don't really care too much about, it does suck that Bianca was squashed basically in 27 seconds. I mean, the moment Becky comes back, you knew they were going to throw the title on her. It does destroy that whole 6 month build of building up Bianca. And then it kind of, throws whatever Sasha and Bianca did in the trash as well prior to that. So yes, that sucks. But out of this, I think Bianca's still gonna look like a star because she's gonna be up against a star and she's gonna have that opportunity to shine again. But I want to know what's going on with Sasha Banks. That's what I'm most interested in.
Well, and I think with that, there's reports that they knew Sasha wasn't gonna be there maybe more than a week in advance. They did not. It wasn't like the second that Bianca got to the ring, they were like, oh, Sasha's not here. I don't like that shady business of not telling fans or whatever. You're advertising this match over and over again, and then she's not there. Maybe they were hoping that Sasha would get cleared, and I would think that Becky was going to do something either way. In terms of that, I doubt that her appearance was necessarily super last minute. Day of, at least. But I don't like it. I think that you're we had for so long these, like, the four horsewomen that were the big deal in the women's evolution and all this stuff, but they have to be beatable. They can't come back. I don't like Becky Lynch coming back and taking the title immediately, because it's just like, oh, so these were just the placeholders that were holding the title in the meantime. Charlotte Flair, I think, is the best women's wrestler in the world. But the amount of times that she wins the title and just beats everybody else and stuff, it's really tough to establish these new stars. So I don't like the way they're booking the women at all.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I think that, you know, and you mentioned in the past with the WWE, if you say left because of an injury or you left to have a baby, they were never going to give you that place back. You had to earn it back. And it's like, but there's a certain stars in that company who, when they come back, they're immediately given. And obviously she left the day that she turned a belt down and gave it to Asuka on Monday Night Raw. That was the last time we saw her on TV. She had a baby. It's been, what, 18 months or whatever. Now she's back, and she walks off with a belt on her first appearance back. You know, 26 seconds, you say. I wasn't disappointed to see her, because I kind of had a feeling that she was definitely in the mix. Lesnar, on the other hand, I think was an answer to CM Punk. Because if it wasn't, then he would have been on TV this week as well, and he wasn't. He did not, you know, I mean, you know, all we saw of him was come down and, you know, I don't even know. He just came down and got in Roman Reigns' face a little bit, showed off his new ponytail, and, and got the crowd going nuts, especially because Heyman, you know, this is, you know, a great problem with Heyman, because he's the manager of both, you know, or he was, you know, and no one knew when Lesnar was coming back. But do you guys think that Lesnar was an answer to CM Punk, maybe, and maybe they jumped the gun on having him come back? Because I really don't see, I mean, obviously last night they set up the champion to take on Finn Balor, and it's like that doesn't have Lesnar in there anywhere, and I didn't see Lesnar at all show up last night. So it's like, I think it's just an answer to CM Punk.
I think it's definitely an attempt, and I, even though they set up Finn Balor for next week for the Universal Championship, there was definitely subtle hints there of continuing this Brock build. I mean, the Usos, the first time that they go to backstage, the segment right near Roman's locker room, I mean, Heyman can't get in the door. Usos are basically saying, you know, Roman's not there. Find out he's not. And it's those subtle hints of, like, the Usos are trying to turn Heyman against Roman and Roman's not seeing it yet. So, I mean, there's definitely the subtle hints of this build up towards Brock and Roman down the future, or in the future. I just don't think it happens right away.
I think that's the way it should be, too. I mean, Brock is such a big star that you don't need to rush into a match with him. I mean, I'm fine with it if they slowly build it and they don't have that match until, like, Survivor Series. Like, let little pieces build and stuff. I don't think things need to be rushed into. And Lesnar coming back, like, it was a surprise. It got a big pop. I can't believe that there are some people out there that think that was bigger than CM Punk returning after 7.5 years of never, like, saying he'll never come back, basically. Where Brock Lesnar, how many times has he come back? Like, yes, it's a big deal, but we've had this exact situation so many times over the years. Him and Roman will be good. Like I think I said last week, if Roman can go over Brock, if they'll actually do that, it's the biggest thing they could do right now for their biggest star in Roman Reigns. The biggest star they've had in a very, very long time. I love the way that they've built him up. We were not talking like this about Roman Reigns a couple years ago, but they finally have him in that position. If Brock Lesnar comes in and beats him, again, you're just killing what you've built. Like you killed with Bianca on a smaller scale and all these other situations that we can talk about. And honestly, I guess in terms of the surprise, like nothing's more fun than a wrestling surprise. But if you were going to have Lesnar as a surprise, then maybe don't lie to your fans about the Sasha thing and just announce Becky or have her come out the night before. I know it's not as exciting, but then you're going to get a lot of people that will tune in, and then they'll still be tuned in to watch Lesnar be a surprise. I don't think they both had to be surprises like that.
No, and Lesnar didn't really do anything. He just kind of ran down. Now, what we found out later was after the cameras went off, he ended up, I guess, F5-ing John Cena quite a few times. John Cena kind of just disappeared at the end of that match. You know, I mean, there was a 1-2-3 count, and then we didn't see him again until Lesnar came down and confronted Roman Reigns, and then it ended. And then apparently for the crowd, John Cena wanted to take the F5 a few times before he went back to Hollywood, because it's been quiet this week about John Cena. We haven't seen much at all, you know, which not a problem.
Well, he put out a tweet, the next day that was just like, Summer of Cena was fun or whatever, thanks, whatever. All right, see ya.
It was the month of Cena. That's really what it was. It was just maybe a month. So, but you know what? You still got a month, and John, you know, John was on the road with them trying to bring crowds back to, you know, and, you know, we're going to, you know, and like we talked last week, they're going to be in November in Syracuse. So I don't think John Cena will be with them. It's going to be a super show. So we get SmackDown and Raw here in Syracuse. So not Rochester though, because we've got on September 29th, we've got AEW Dynamite live from Rochester. Maybe we'll see CM Punk in Rochester. I'm kind of guessing we will. But let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam before we go to break. Just a little bit more. There was we got the Goldberg thing. I wasn't really, you know, positive. I mean, they were selling it as an injury stoppage on the match, and then Bobby Lashley Cobra clutched Gage, who he had seen the last 3 weeks but couldn't recognize him when he was in the ring, and which, you know, they're trying to build. I think they're building up something more with Goldberg, at least, because now he's gonna, you know, he'll have some sort of. Motivation now against Bobby Lashley. But Charlotte Flair won the title. I thought that was a great match, by the way. That was probably my favorite match of the night, was the three-way with Charlotte Flair, Nikki A.S.H., and Rhea Ripley. I mean, it was a really solid match. There was some great wrestling on the show. I thought...
Well, thing I'll say, I agree with you on that. I did not see the pre-show, so I still haven't seen the Big E match against Baron Corbin, but like, that's a match I would have liked to have seen on the pay-per-view itself, because there were so many on the pay-per-view that I didn't care about at all.
True.
But I thought it looked like for a while they were going to build up Big E, and I guess like now he's kind of like waiting in the wings again. Corbin's getting a ton of attention too, so I just think that's a waste.
Well, they brought him out last night, and Corbin now is the, obviously he went to Vegas and started winning at all the tables, and now he's sickly rich.
Happy Corbin.
Yeah, he's happy, sickly rich Corbin. I don't get it, but he tried to buy Big E's case last night off him for $100,000, and Big E said no way. And Corbin's like, you're just going to lose it anyways. And then, of course, if you remember the history, Corbin had the money in the bank, and he lost when he cashed it in. So they kind of got to play a little bit of, hey, remember WWE doesn't erase all your memories from the past. Remember when that happened? You know, so, but no, there was some good stuff. It was a solid pay-per-view. I mean, I could live without Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie. That was just terrible. RKO Bro, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's nice to see, those guys. They're kind of fun to watch. Edge beating Seth Rollins again, I think. Or no, Seth Rollins losing again, I should say. It wasn't Edge beating him before, but he lost at WrestleMania. Now he loses, and we got Kevin Owens last night on the commentary, because a certain commentary guy got COVID, Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee is vaccinated, but he tested positive for COVID, and so they had, and he worked that whole show. So I don't know if that's going to become a super spreader all of a sudden from Pat McAfee, you know, being involved with it. But Pat McAfee, you know, we send our best out to him because he is vaccinated. And then maybe that will happen. If you're vaccinated, you will still test positive.
It's happening a lot.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say he definitely didn't have symptoms or anything, but they tested him.
So. I literally heard from a friend this morning when I first woke up that's happening to her too. So, it's definitely a possibility for people to keep in mind.
Yeah, well, just, you know, send out good thoughts to Pat. Hopefully Pat, you know, makes it out. Because we're really beginning to like Pat, I think, you know. And I'm, you know.
He's one of the highlights of Friday Night SmackDown.
except for you, Artiste.
I still don't like him, but I will admit reluctantly that the passion he brings to it and the amount he knows a lot more about the product than some of the other commentators on wrestling TV shows these days. So he's doing a better job than I expected.
Oh, good. I agree. And I bet he was. I was going to say he was.
That's my compliment. for him, yeah.
There you go. All right, 222-1280, star 12 is the number. We're going to take a break. Going to come back, talk
I
a little
bit. I would never hang out with him, ever.
No, definitely not. We're gonna, not now, at least. We're definitely going to go. We're going to talk a little NXT TakeOver on the flip side and some results from that. If you have a comment or a question, 222-1280, star 12 is. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Don't forget, we are brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. And we wouldn't have been on the air for the 22 years we've been on the air if it wasn't for those guys and Soccer Sam Fantuzzo. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. We appreciate it so much. And we're and mentioning Salvatore's, we're going to be out there September 25th for UFC 266. Salvatore's at the garage door. Prelim start 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. As always, no cover charge. Come hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. You can jump in if you want. 222-1280. Star 1280 is the number. If you're outside the area code, put a 585 on it. 585-222-1280. I am the Cash Man, your humble host, here with Furby from Hilton, the artiste from Rochester, and me from downtown, 16th floor of a certain building that I don't want you waiting outside to kick me when I'm done on the air today. So, but we're.
I figured they just changed the name of it again.
Yeah, they might. Who knows? Five Star Bank Building. Okay, I'll give it up. It's right where
the only thing that changes more is the arena in Buffalo.
It's true. And but this is where the party in the park is, right outside here. Or you know, but what? And that's where 1280 is, as well as iHeart Radio headquarters. So thank you so much for listening. So I wanted to come back and talk a little bit about. Like I said, you can call it 222-1280. I wanted to talk a little bit about NXT TakeOver last Sunday, which is weird. Yes, I think it's just completely weird that we have a NXT TakeOver, a.k.a. pay-per-view, on a Sunday after SummerSlam. And it was only, five matches. I can't remember. One was on the pre-show. I know that. But I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it's definitely more wrestling intensive and more, I'll use this term, indie-rific, because you get more of these moves that you don't see in the WWE on your average, that you see maybe more out in an independent show, like a lot of working on the aprons and stuff. But man, what a show. It was a lot of fun. And it just might be the last time we see Adam Cole in NXT too. There's a lot of rumors going around that his contract is up after that show. It seems like he went the right way out. You know, losing to Kyle O'Reilly in a 2 out of 3 falls match. But the last one was in a cage, which really the cage didn't have much to do with it. He did tap out, you know, via submission. But what'd you guys think of NXT? Now, I know we're talking a lot about WWE, and don't worry, AEW topic is coming up because we had a lot of AEW, 3 hours of TV this week. So, but what'd you guys think of NXT on Sunday? Was it like the denouement of the book? If the SummerSlam was the book, the denouement is the sloping action at the end of the story, you know, or was it? I think it in its own. In its own self, it was a great show, and it could have been on Friday, it could have been on Saturdays, for all I care. Ferbs, what'd you think?
I thought overall it was a very good show. It kind of felt like they've been saying, it felt like an end of an era, honestly. You know, you see Cole go away, you know, Cross loses the belt. You see two of your bigger stars on that show basically not going to be on NXT pretty much anymore. I did like Joe winning the belt. Kind of gives you a more of a main event feel.
That was a quick win, too. That was a 10-minute win, you know? It was like a 12-minute win, yeah.
I mean, for his first match, you know, back in over a year and a half, I didn't expect too much. But, I mean, they made Joe look strong. You know, I thought it was a great show overall. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I'm more interested to see what's going to come out of the future. Obviously, they dropped their new teaser with their logo last night on SmackDown, which is all bright with colors, and a new intro from Wale. So,
is that how you say that?
Wale, yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think on NXT this past week, Joe was celebrating a little bit in the ring, and all the contenders kind of came out on him, which I thought was great because, I mean, if we're going to continue on with what we're doing, those guys are all in their right, have a right to get in line behind Joe. I thought that was definitely fantastic. But yeah, now who knows when the changes happen this week, what's going to, you know, what will sift through, you know?
However, probably one of the best matches, and it was a great follow-up, Ilya Dragunov and Walter.
Oh, my goodness.
These guys,
yeah.
These guys are amazing when you put these two in the ring. The chemistry, the overall just battle, beat down, fight.
It's good. It's good to have that pale English no sun skin that as soon as you get chopped a few times, you've got these huge marks on you that people are like, you know, they looked painful.
Just what a match. Like, hands, you know, Meltzer gave him 5.25 stars. Not that that means much on his rating, but fantastic match. I absolutely loved it. Their first match they had together was fantastic too. Glad to see Dragunov get the belt and Walter finally lose, because I think he lost to the right person.
What do you think, Rob?
Oh, I swear I'm going to be positive at some point on this show today. and I'll start with saying that, yes, Dragunov and Walter was incredible and one of the best matches we've ever seen in NXT or whatever. That was match of the week. That was fantastic.
It's one we've been waiting for quite a long time, too, because of the injury to Walter's hand. So it should have happened, 3 months ago at least.
Outside of that match, I didn't really like. I like Joe being the champion again. I agree that it's Cross wasn't doing it for me, to be honest. And Joe brings a little bit more legitimacy. And curious to see, you know, what he does now being back as the top guy there. The rest of the card, I think it was one of the weakest takeovers we've seen. Like, I didn't love that match with Joe and Cross. I like Dakota Kai, but that match was kind of sloppy. The rest of the show, and honestly, like, O'Reilly and Cole are two incredible wrestlers, but that was far from my favorite match that they've had. Mm-hmm. Especially once they got to the cage, it was like immediately over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say they phoned it in, but I that was not what I was expecting out of that match. And that was the one I was looking forward to the most, to be honest. So, this takeover, 36 was a thumbs down for me, aside from the one really, really good Dragunov Walter match.
Yeah, the finish at the O'Reilly-Cole match was really just weird. It kind of left like a bad taste in my mouth. The whole knee bar thing on the ropes being handcuffed, and it was a mess.
Yeah.
Also, that new NXT logo looks exactly like the Dynamite color scheme from when they first started, with all the bright colors and everything, mm-hmm. So... that's a ripoff.
Yeah, I guess we'll see Wednesday how that comes into play in the arena. But yeah, and when you didn't mention Cameron Grimes beating LA Knight for Ted DiBiase, and Ted DiBiase got involved. Yeah, that was kind of a quote unquote fun match. You know, I mean,
I thought that match was definitely a lot of fun, but I forgot about it. And now the fact that the Million Dollar Championship is basically going to be off TV, Ted DiBiase is gone. What was the point of the angle? It almost feels like that 2-3 months of that whole buildup between LA Knight and Cameron Grimes meant absolutely nothing now. I'm not saying that prop title needs to be on, you know, TV forever, but it's like, okay, here it is. Now it's gone. Hopefully they do something next.
It showed up on WWE. It was on, if you went to their front page, he was considered a champion at the bottom of the list as the Million Dollar Champion, even lower than the NXT tag titles, which are pretty down there too. NXT UK tag titles. So it's like, I think we need to get LA Knight involved with other people. I love Cameron Grimes. I think he does a good job. Those guys are both great wrestlers. But I think that, yeah, I'm kind of glad that maybe that's done now. But yeah, and I agree with the Samoa Joe and the Karrion Kross match. It was short, and it was, you know, we kind of knew where it was going just because Kross is now, you know, wearing the, you know, what was it? What did you guys call it when we were watching on Monday? And he came out with those, whatever that thing was on his, suspenders. They were holding his trunks up. What were you mentioning that they looked like? Demolition was
Ludwig Borga, but in red.
Oh yeah, that or Demolition, or it looked like, you know, yeah.
Super Shredder.
Yeah, he had the mask on too. With I don't know, man. I'm scared. Cross is gonna be a victim of creative, man. It's like that. I think that's
Problem is the fans want Scarlett, and I know that like maybe there's a legitimate reason that she's not appearing right now, but the fans are not gonna stop. But I think the fans that really cared a lot about them have turned, and they don't care about Cross without her. Like they're going to be very vocal about it. It's going to kill his move to the main roster, as they killed it with the Jeff Hardy match and all that. So I don't know. You built this guy up, and just then he loses to Joe, and that's one of the least memorable main events in TakeOver history, I would say.
No,
that's not something we're going to be talking about years from now, like so many of the other ones. So I don't know what's going on.
And he gets to show up on Monday Night Raw with this terrible mask on. I didn't even know who it was until the graphic came up, who it was. It's like,
quite honestly, like the most interesting part about Karrion Kross was Scarlett, and she's gone. And I said this actually, I don't know, it could have been probably about a year or more ago now, when WWE first signed Karrion Kross, and my first introduction to him when I saw him against Tom Lawler on MLW. And I said, hopefully Karrion Kross is a little bit better than this, because he's pretty boring. Well, guess what? He's proven my point correct. He's not interesting. And I want Scarlett back on my TV, because that's interesting.
All right. On that note, we got to take a break. We're running a little bit late. We will be back on the flip side. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Ain't
nobody man enough to feel the pain, and you could be next. You better give respect, because
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Playing a little Sami Zayn. He showed up last night in SmackDown. Kevin Owens was doing the commentary. They have a lot of history. I think they, you know, which is great because it spans multiple companies. And WWE gave them, I think, solid series of matches between each other, both winning one. I mean, we saw Kevin Owens lose to Sami Zayn at some point too, but it's nice to see that. But there's a couple things that we linger on from SummerSlam that I wanted to mention before we get out of here, and also before we go to the next break, at least. From NXT, and one was Adam Cole's contract. That's from NXT. Adam Cole's contract, he supposedly is for a free man now from WWE. It makes sense why he lost, you know, to his friend Kyle O'Reilly. Is Adam Cole going to re-sign with WWE? Or do you think that he's, you know, because his girl is like the female champ over AEW, women's champ, Britt Baker, maybe there's a little influence there. What do you guys think about the future of Adam Cole?
I'm really interested, because I thought it was probably going to be signed, sealed, delivered. He's going to AEW. Last night, he pulled his Twitch viewing that he was normally going to do last night. So I thought there might have been a teaser, potentially something with a main roster call-up.
You scared me for a second. You said he pulled his Twitch. I don't know what that means. Is that some sort of new terminology or something? You know, No. Sorry, just being funny.
But I mean, I don't know. I do think he ends up in AEW. I don't think he's coming back to WWE. I think his time is pretty much gone. And I like I said last week, unless they view him as the next Shawn Michaels, I don't foresee him being in WWE.
Well, a lot of other guys have been called up, and it's considered being called up if you move to Raw or SmackDown, because that's how the mentality of that company is. NXT may have equal footing on network TV, same as Raw, same as SmackDown, but they're still the feeder league to Raw and SmackDown. Unfortunately, we see that. If he hasn't been called up by all these other people who have been called up already, then I don't think it will happen, and maybe it's time for him to go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously NXT doesn't get looked at as top tier like them, because they don't count their championships as world titles. So on that note, I just don't see him going anywhere. He's going to AEW.
Rob?
I don't know what to think at this point, because I think we all were thinking AEW, and there have been so many teasers of it from the AEW side of things. Little hints on whether it's BTE or Twitter or CM Punk's shoes or whatever. Like there's a lot of stuff out there, but then they had Cole do that appearance with Gargano on Thursday, which you would think they wouldn't do that if Cole was on his way out. I don't know. I honestly, he's somebody that is extremely talented. I don't have any faith that they would use him properly on the main roster. And I wonder how he would get over on a Raw, to be honest. And that's not really a shot at him, but just his style and stuff. I think he would be a huge deal in AEW, and I think he would get lost in the shuffle on Raw or SmackDown. So I'm hoping it's AEW. That being said, we've talked, AEW doesn't need to add a million people right now, or they got to start deleting some people, but Adam Cole would definitely be a huge benefit to that company.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll see what happens. I mean, but you know, and of course CM Punk comes out on Dynamite this past week and people are chanting yes at him, and he kind of leaves a little hint to where Daniel Bryan is probably going. This is what he said. They were chanting yes at him, and CM Punk interrupted by saying, "That's somebody else's shtick, and you might just need to be a little bit more patient." So obviously, there is Daniel Bryan looks, or it'll be Bryan Danielson when he shows up, because that's his real name, folks. WWE doesn't like letting people go by anything. I mean, this is the closest to his real name you could get, I guess. But Daniel Bryanson, Bryan Danielson is probably going to be showing up at that tennis. Was it U.S. Open Arena that they're going to be playing in the New York?
Arthur Ashe Stadium,
September 22nd.
Well, but now there's the rumors. That seemed to be the thing. Now there's rumors that maybe it would be at All Out, that he would come out. I don't know.
Well,
I think
a week from tomorrow.
I know they want to capitalize on this momentum, but I would hold it off. I don't know. I think you got enough going on at All Out. Obviously, TNT would prefer it to be on a Dynamite or something, but I don't know. It's going to be fun when it happens. And I loved not only what Punk said, but his facial expression in that moment was just golden. So it'll be fun once he gets there. But I think it's also one of those things where it seems like a certainty at this point.
Definitely. So one last thing I wanted to mention about SummerSlam, and then we'll get to AEW completely, because I still want to talk about that Punk promo. But SummerSlam apparently was supposed to be ending early on Sunday because on Saturday, because Manny Pacquiao was fighting that night in Las Vegas. And so they kept trying to have him shut the pay-per-view down early so the people who were at the pay-per-view, because they're 3 hours earlier than us. So when it got, when it was getting late, it was still only 8:30 there. It was here, it was 11:30 or whatever. But they were trying, I heard that the WWE was, they were kind of in a little bit of heat from people in power there that wanted to get the people free to go see Manny Pacquiao. And Manny Pacquiao lost, by the way. So, but I thought that was pretty interesting news that there had been a few mentions that they had to finish up early. Maybe some of the matches were going to be shorter than expected. It did seem like some were shorter, to be honest with you. I don't know about 26 seconds for Becky Lynch, but because that was just so distasteful. I just sat there and go, this is the bad way to make Bianca Belair look. But maybe that was part of the case. I don't know. But so that was the last thing I wanted to mention on SummerSlam. I do want to get to a little AEW. What'd you think of Punk? We mentioned Punk there and what he said about Daniel Bryan. What'd you think about him coming out? Do you guys want to see him wrestle before we actually see him wrestle? Do you want, just so that not that you say you don't think he can do it or anything, but it's been 7 years. I would like to see him actually do some action on TV before they actually get into the pay-per-view. Maybe we'll see that this Wednesday coming up. I don't know. But you guys have any thoughts about the show overall? By the way, last night's Rampage was fantastic. Are you kidding me? That tag match that was on last night? Unbelievable, man. It's like, both teams, just gave everything, and it's like seeing the Luchasaurus do some of the things, some of the moves he was taking, the Canadian Destroyer or whatever they call it, man, that was insane. But I think AEW had a great week in wrestling. But what did you guys think about, like, say, Wednesday's Dynamite and CM Punk? I mean, CM Punk come out and kind of addressing why he's there, sort of.
I would say that it was another good week for AEW. I would say I don't want to see Punk in the ring before the Darby match. That's really the intrigue of it. It's going to be weird. Like, I'm interested to see what their plans are for Punk after the Darby match, because he even kind of admitted it after the show that aired last night that, some of the luster will wear off and stuff. I think that the debut was so exciting. And then he comes out on Dynamite, and through no fault of his own, just the nature of the situation. Like, it was pretty much just rehashing the same kind of stuff, but now in the ring with Shivani. And then, you know, they had a couple, what, taped, like, interview quotes from him last night. But there's only so much you can do if you're not getting into matches. And you kind of got to spread that out. But there's also a demand now for Punk to be on every show because he's the big deal right now. So it's kind of a tough balancing act there. But so I don't think like anything he did this week wasn't anywhere close to as exciting as his debut on Rampage last week. But, you know, still obviously there's a lot of excitement for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and the pay-per-view, by the way, is a week from tomorrow. So it's yep. it's coming up. And, I mean, there's so many things that could happen. What do you think about Punk and on Dynamite there, Ferbs?
Yeah, I mean, like just like Rob said, it was a lot of the same stuff, but I think it was obviously necessary for him to be there. You know, Dynamite overall, I thought it was a great show. Rampage, just like you said last night, that tag match. Unbelievable. First of all, probably two of my favorite current tag teams right now, Jurassic Express and Lucha Brothers. Like, if Lucha Brothers don't take the titles from the Young Bucks at All Out, I might throw a fit, but that's just my personal opinion.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, Punk's there. He's got to be there. I, just like Rob said, I don't want to see him in a match before Darby. I want to see that almost another element of surprise. Let that kind of just, you know, resonate. We haven't seen him in 7 years in a ring.
True,
now we're
going
to get to see it. We get to see him on this big show All Out, and I that's when I want to see him.
Well, I will say
like the match last night that opened the show, the tag match was fantastic. I personally wanted to see Jurassic Express win it, but I would agree now at this point, you can't have the Lucha Brothers lose to the Bucks again. Like that's happened a lot, and you built them up, and they are so popular with the fans. I think I'm in the minority at this point. I don't think it's time for the Bucks to lose those titles yet. I think there's so many more feuds and everything else they can do. The whole heel turn has been working well, I think, that I just don't think it's time for them to drop them just yet. One quick note, I hated that I knew the result of that tag match last night without wanting it because people comment spoilers all over social media and stuff like that. And that's one thing that I'm nervous about with Rampage being taped quite a bit going forward, starting with last night's show, is that stuff is sometimes unavoidable. And I know a lot of people out there, Meltzer and others, will say like, oh, it doesn't change the ratings or whatever. For me, it absolutely makes a difference. Like watching a live Rampage, I'm excited. I don't know what's going to happen or whatever. Last night was like by far the least interested I've been in it so far because I had already seen it and it wasn't something that I looked up. Like, yeah. I didn't want to.
Sure. So. And I definitely did not. I saw that there's teasers. I did not look at them. I watched the show like I thought it was live. I will say Dynamite with Punk on it this week went up about 200,000 viewers. So it was a boost to take them back over the million mark, which because they were at 975,000 the week before. So not bad at all. Yeah, and of course Rampage had those great numbers on their from 2 weeks ago as well. We'll see how that comes out this week. But yeah, you know, the interesting thing you say about them taping is they're going to be taping in the same place that Impact used to tape at Orlando what was it? The studios there. What are the studios called?
Universal Studios.
Universal Studios. I was there. I was there for a couple of shows, so it's pretty cool.
Same
place. WCW used to do their Saturday night show there as well. So it's got a lot of history. But
same soundstage that Nick Arcade and Guts were also filmed in.
Really? I did not know that. Yeah. Cool. Well, it definitely is a great. So you're going to see shows from there from now on pretty much with the brand new Rampage. But I know we got a break kind of late. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I hate creeps and liars, too. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man. I am joined by Furby and Hilton and the Artiste downtown someplace in Rochester. And you. And Danger, I don't know where you are, buddy. Maybe you're having problems getting on or not. And DC, we miss you guys this week. But, man, we got just a couple minutes left. And Darby, that's the music we're going to hear a week from tomorrow when CM Punk's out there. We're going to have Darby Allin's music kick, and he's going to come out. And maybe Sting will be with him. It's, you know, man, it leaves so much. You know, this with all the additions and of everything, all the wrestlers' additions in the last couple of weeks, it's like a new game now, I think, for a lot of these shows, which is really exciting. You know, I mean, you know, like maybe you can, you know, we used to fantasy book a lot on this show, and it's like you could do it again with, like, say, Sting wanting to wrestle someone like Punk, We never saw that, but it could happen, you know. Or, you know, now we got the Big Show back out, you know, wrestling, and you get the, you know, fantasy book with him, with the guys, you know. So there's a lot of it's a lot of excitement to the world of wrestling. This past couple weeks has just been a big boost to the pro wrestling in general, you know. And I'm super psyched for what's coming up next.
Yeah. I mean, now we got that big Chicago week coming up with All Out, which I think this week, like I said, I think this week was a little bit of a lull or a little bit of a downswing for AEW. Not much, but a little bit compared to last week. Next week will be exciting with everything that's going on. I think All Out's card is stacked. I really do. And especially last night, I for some reason, like looking through the card, I love the addition of the Miro versus Eddie Kingston match for the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just think that's a match that we've never seen, and I'm really looking forward to those two.
And Miro's the one who picked the fight too, so it's like, you know, which I thought was great. I love seeing these, and then you don't pick a fight with someone like Eddie Kingston. He doesn't take much, you know, to get him going. I mean, I'm super psyched to see how that match turns out, because those guys both put on great matches.
I think it'd be huge for Miro too, because if you look at, like, yeah, Miro can beat up Fuego del Sol and little guys and stuff like that, whatever. But this would be a big deal for him if he can go toe to toe and knock down Eddie Kingston. That'll make him so much more legitimate.
Definitely. I love Miro's backstage promos. I love how he keeps subtly bringing up his wife. Oh, my wife. Oh, my wife. It's just it's great. He's funny, but he's such. He's a beast.
Yeah, I love that that he kind of is leaning on like a soldier of God type of thing. So I think that's pretty cool too. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, it just shows you what motivates the guy. You know, when they bring up words like that when they're talking during their promo. So I dig what he's doing, and it's like he's you know, it's funny. It took forever to get him going, and now he's going. You know, and it's like this guy should be in the main event. He should be, you know, working his way towards that title. You know, there's so many guys, but I mean, right now you feel the momentum. I'm building for Miro right now, and who knows, maybe Lana or whatever she may be called when she does show up, CJ, you know, maybe that'll work out. But man, we're gonna get out of here. We got a couple minutes left. I just gonna get spew some news that we have, and maybe we'll get some comments on it. Brock Lesnar, by the way, apparently signed an approximately 18-month contract, so we're gonna have him for at least that much. But it's a funny thing is it's only a total of 8 matches, so it's not like you're gonna see a lot of them. You know,
and SummerSlam, I guess, was like the highest grossing SummerSlam of all time, highest viewed SummerSlam of all time. So whether it was just people wanted to see it or not, I mean, it did big numbers.
When you just said it was the highest grossing, I thought you were about to say, so it's time for more budget cuts.
Yeah. Well, who else are we going
to
get rid
Thanks
of? Well, they did. They got rid of Ted DiBiase, right? They showed him the door with a belt. Okay. So, some other news, something. Oh, it came out this week that looks like the 2021 Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory pay-per-view is going to happen in Vegas at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall, October 23rd. So they have quite the momentum going there, as well as Impact Wrestling. You know, now that Christian Cage is the champion, and he definitely has been showing up on the TV with them. So I think that's.
With the belt on AEW and stuff, which helps too. And also, just to quickly mention, a big weekend for NWA, Empower tonight, the all-women's pay-per-view. I'm really looking forward to that. And then, what is it, NWA 73 or something tomorrow, which the card will be exciting for some. I don't love it, but I'm still going to watch it. So
yeah. Flair's going to be on it, so.
Definitely got to watch. A lot of people from Impact will be on it. Yeah, Deonna Purrazzo, like I said, she'll be there. So there's going to be it's neat to see. You know, this will be a true test, because it won't be on the WWE Network, and they're the ones who can like keep that information. We'll see real pay-per-view numbers for an all-women's pay-per-view, which is super exciting for the business, you know. And Mickie James, you know, come on, Mickie. Everyone's cheering for Mickie James. So, man, so – let's see. There's other pieces of news. We had a couple of NXT superstars were out doing a warm-up matches on before the Fox SmackDown on Fox last night. Saw Cale Bloom defeat Austin Theory and how do you say it? Zai Lee and Casey Catanzaro, which everyone loves Casey. So they both got an opportunity to show their stuff before the actual matches last night.
I just hate those pairings. There's no consistency there. Xia Li and Casey Catanzaro were just literally feuding on NXT. Why the heck are they tagging with each other in a dark match?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, Aaliyah and Dakota Kai were on as well. I didn't highlight them, sorry. But also, one last thing before we go. CM Punk, because of Pro Wrestling Tees getting broken last week because of his T-shirt deal that came out, bought the guy's lunch all at Pro Wrestling Tees. You know, hey, CM Punk, you can send some lunch this way, bro. Okay? You know, we all were talking about you for this past week. And, guys, it's been a lot of fun.
We talked about the merch lines, but the Pro Wrestling Tees can't even buy enough white ringer T-shirts in the world to fulfill the orders. That's how popular this is right now with people trying to get that merch.
All right.
They can't find them. Like, somebody start a ringer T-shirt business and sell them all to Pro Wrestling Tees.
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to get out of here. I want to thank you, Artis. Thank you, Furby. Danger, wherever you are. Thanks. Thank you, DC Dan Cole. Next week, we're going to definitely be hitting up this all-out pay-per-view that's going to be in Chicago. We'll probably have plenty of news for that, too. So we will see you same bat time, same bat channel. Guys, have a great weekend. Feel the pain.